20 feet away, the sentry was shoving off the safety catch, aiming. The kill club struck him like a lightning bolt in the center of his back. Johnny was racing forward, unarmed now. The other sentry turned. The light hit Johnny. The cyclo raised his blast rifle to fire. Johnny was past him. Grasping the muzzle of the huge gun, he spun it out of his paws. Johnny reversed the weapon to use the butt. There must be no shots to wake the compound. The cyclo turned and tried to grab him. The rifle butt crunched into the sentry's stomach, and he folded. Johnny thought he was home free, but he wasn't. The ground shook. A third sentry came running up. The light from the fallen flashlight shone on the huge, rushing legs. The third sentry had a belt gun drawn. He was 5 feet away, raising the weapon to fire. Holding the blast rifle by its muzzle, Johnny whirled the butt into the third one's helmet. There was a crack of splitting helmet glass. Then a hoarse intake of hostile air. The cyclo went down. The first one was trying to get up and bring a weapon to bear. Johnny crashed the butt of the rifle down on his chest and his helmet came loose. He choked a strangled gasp as the air hit him. My God! Johnny agonized. 3 centuries to explain. Unless he acted, they were for it and washed up the whole way. He forced the rages of combat back to calmness. He heard Blodgett running off. Somewhere up in the compound, a door slammed. This place would be swarming. He stamped out the flashlight. Raking through his pockets, he searched for a thong. He found one, found two. He pieced them together. He reached down and got hold of the first sentry's blast rifle. He tied the extended thong to the trigger. Then, with all his might, he plunged the muzzle of the blast rifle into the ground, choking its bore with dirt and leaving it erect. He hunched down behind the protection of the first sentry's body. There were running feet coming down from the compound. Doors were slamming. They would be here any instant. He made sure he was protected both from sight of the compound and from the blast, and pulled the thong. The choked blast rifle exploded like a bomb. The corpse before him jolted. Geysered dirt and rocks began to fall back. But Johnny was gone. 2 hours later, with his side aching from running, Johnny came back to the base. Robert the Fox had seen that no unusual lights were on and had the place organized in case of pursuit. As the raiders came in one by one, he had their boxes of breathe gas carefully hidden in a basement and collected them in a silent group in the faintly lit auditorium. He had 15 Scots standing by with submachine guns and passenger ships lined up in case they had to evacuate. The camouflaged capes had been removed and hidden. No evidence left in sight. No precaution untaken. Withdrawal, if called for, already organized. Robert the Fox was an efficient veteran of many a raid in his own homeland.
Did we leave anyone?
Panted Johnny.
19 came back,
said Robert the Fox.
Donaldine is still out there.
Johnny didn't like it. He looked around at the 19 raiders in the hall. They were concentrating on getting themselves back to normal, straightening their bonnets, picking grass off themselves, winding down. A runner from the lookout with night glasses posted on top of a building came in with the message.
No pursuit visible. No planes have taken off.
That was one devil of an explosion,
said Robert the Fox.
It was a blast rifle that blew up. When the barrel is clogged, they blow back and explode their whole magazine of 500 rounds.
Sure made the echoes ring. We heard it over here, miles away.
They are loud,
said Johnny. He sat, panting on a bench.
I've got to figure out how to get a message to Turl. Chrissy is ill, and they're without water. No firewood.
The Scots tensed. One of them spat the word.
Cyclos.
I'll figure a way to get a message. Any sign of Donaldine?
He called to a messenger at the door. The messenger went off to the lookout.